God is good. We are in the book of 1 Peter, the epistle of Peter. Amen. I got a lot of notes, don't you worry about them. We're going to get through it. 1 Peter, we're going to read from verses 7 through 12, and our text is going to be pulled out of verses 10 through 12, so we just read it, sort of get some context of what we're going to talk about today. Amen. Let's all stand and follow along in God's Word, and when we get to verses 10 to 12, pay extra attention, because that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Amen. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a word so precious, Father God, that the angels desire to look into it. Father, thank you for the Spirit of Christ that rested upon these apostles and prophets of old, gave them the power to preach the word of God, to prophesy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then, Father God, we thank you for the Lord. We thank you for his death on Calvary's cross. Let us not focus on the wood of the cross, but on the work that was done on the cross. Father, thank you, Father God, for all that you've done so far this morning. Thank you for these young people, Father God, who've come out and ushered. And we ask that you would continue to work in their lives and make them powerful young people for the Lord. Thank you for the men singing, and thank you for our choir director, Father God, who's been under the weather and is going through, but still fights her way to the house of God.
Amen.
Pray for her husband. Pray for Jake, Father God, and our Sunday school teachers, Father God, and their commitment to preaching and teaching the Word of God and working in the lives of our young people, Father God. Father God, we thank you. We can still continue to thank you. Thank you for everything. But most of all, thank you today for touching us with the Word of God, and hopefully it will penetrate a heavy heart this morning.
Amen.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How great is your salvation? How great is your salvation? I believe it takes a great salvation. I believe it takes a great salvation to make it to heaven, to get through all that the enemy throws at us. We need something great working in us. Peter is talking to the believers at Asia. They were struggling. They were going through. They were under great persecution. And most of their persecution, unlike ours, was because of their faith. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that they stood for the Lord. They stood for the Lord on their jobs and in their communities, in their homes, in their schools. They stood for the Lord and they were ostracized, and some of them were being even murdered and martyred. And Peter is telling them, you just hang in there. You just hang in there. You don't have the type of faith that folks that quit has. And when we were coming up, I thought about this, and how many remember the bazooka gum? I know I'm aging some of us. Bazooka gum, and you open that gum, and there'll always be a joke in there. Okay, a little short story, you know, sort of like, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? I was just looking at it. On the bottom. See? Stuff like that. Little stupid stuff. Okay. Then we remember we would see someone who didn't know how to drive real well. You get in a car with them back then, and we would say, where'd you get your driver's license at? With Duke the gum wrapper. Okay. Or a Cracker Jack box. That was one. I used to tell my buddies, you got your license out of a Cracker Jack box. We went to a Chinese restaurant and they gave us their fortune cookies, and all the boys were excited about getting their cookie and they want to read their fortune. Okay. But what the reason I say all that, because a lot of folks' salvation is bazooka gum wrapper type and fortune cookie type and Cracker Jack box type. And you know what? When you're going through, that kind of salvation is not going to hold up.
Amen.
That kind of salvation is not going to stand the test of times. I think about three scriptures, and you know, I have a lot of scriptures for you guys, but you know, this one here comes to mind because David in Psalms 26, when he was out in the wilderness and he had sinned greatly with Bathsheba, but David was a changed man. And he asked the Lord. We ought to too. This is why I always think when people say, well, you know, I hear Christians say, don't judge me. We all want to be judged. We all want to be tested. We all want to be examined. A lot of us don't. We don't want nobody to say anything to us, question anything about us. But we all want to. We all want to be examined. We ought to be like David in Psalm 26. He said to the Lord. He said, examine me. He said, examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. When he says try my reins, say, check what's in me. Make sure I got the right stuff. Okay? Some of us need to ask the Lord that. We want to ask the Lord that. Try me, Lord. See what's in me. Make sure I'm working with the right stuff. Make sure I'm geared up properly. I remember taking a class on building a computer back when I was at General Motors, and they had these, of course, you built your own computer. I mean, they worked closely with you because it wasn't like I could do that. It's not in me. But you want to make sure you got the right stuff in it.
Amen.
And you can put anything you want in it. But you want to make sure you got the right stuff in you. Paul knew something about it. He said it in 2 Corinthians 13. He said, examine yourselves. That's interesting. Examine yourselves. Because nobody can examine you like you. He said, examine yourself, fine, whether ye be in the faith. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to be tested. You're going to have a trial. You're going to face adversity. And this is what this church was facing, or these people were facing. These were strangers scattered. Scattered because of what they stood for. And many of us in here, faith was tested this week. We had opportunities to stand for the Lord, and we didn't. We had opportunities to witness to someone, and we didn't. We had opportunities to tell someone about Jesus and what He's done for us, and we didn't. That's all of us. And He said, examine yourself. Why, Paul? Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. That's what the text said. Prove your own self. Test your own self. Test your own self. Know ye not your own selves. how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. You want to know what's in you. You want to know what's in you. Well, how do I know what's in me, Pastor? By what comes out of you.
Amen.
I had a Greek friend. Always brought me Greek food. Anybody know about Greek food? It's always high in garlic. And he bring me this Greek food all the time. And when I went to the bathroom, guess what came out of me? Garlic. Garlic. Okay? When I was training and doing the fitness stuff, we were always trying to eat orange roughy because it was low in carbohydrates, really high in protein. But it was orange roughy. So when you ate orange roughy for weeks at a time, guess what? Orange roughy. Everything came out of you was orange. Orange. Amen. That's a great introduction, isn't it? Amen. What goes in? What's coming out? What's come out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I can monitor the boys. I can monitor the boys by what comes out of them. And they're growing. This is why I commend Jake. You know, don't be patient with the young people because they can do some things that older people can't do. They can be tying their shoes and looking around the room, playing with their watches, playing, and then they still retain everything. As we get older, we become more single. That's right. We got to be more focused. We don't like any distractions or anything because anything would throw us off. Okay? Children can be doing some stuff and still repeat everything you said. Amazing. Amazing what a young mind can do, huh, Deacon Oliver? Amen. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. Now think about what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks as we go through Peter. These folks were under pressure. They were under severe trial. And Peter said in verse 7 that their faith was more precious than gold that perishes. And then he gets into verse number 9. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your own souls. What is salvation? Salvation, the word means to be delivered, to be rescued. Rescued from what? From the wrath of God.
Amen.
Rescued from going to hell. This is what we do, and I'm not here selling an insurance policy, a hell insurance policy, but one of the benefits, the greatest benefit of all, is that we die and don't go to hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what?
Eternal
life. How? Through Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through your relationship with Jesus Christ. No relationship with Christ, no salvation.
Amen.
It's simple as that. Let's not sit here and, you know, and play. I heard someone said today, I don't know what I've heard so much, and I spiritualized everything, but we're not here to talk about how to get your finances together or to how to lose weight or how to gain weight. Some folks want to gain weight.
Amen.
We're here to preach the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is all about salvation. Listen, what somebody said, well, how do we get to salvation? Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans 5:9 said, much more, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved.
Amen.
From the wrath through Him. Wrath is coming.
Amen.
Wrath is coming. If you leave here, find another church, they're not preaching the wrath of God, then they're hurting you. I'll be remiss if I think about my father. He didn't hear the word of God. I'm preaching fairy tales and I'm preaching gimmicks and I'm preaching how to get rich and how to be healthy forever. And when I watch my father go from 270 pounds down to 150 and he's preaching, well, you're going to get, God's going to heal you. You're 83 years old. What energizes me is the fact that I know he heard the gospel.
Amen.
I know he heard the gospel. I know it was preached to him. I know it was preaching to his soul. I think about Teddy in Baltimore. And I thank God that I'm not a preacher here wondering how she's doing because she hadn't heard anything. She don't know the Lord. She don't know about salvation. She don't know about grace. She don't know about mercy. She don't know about heaven because I haven't preached it. Why didn't you preach it? Because the people didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it, so I didn't preach it. So folks, under the ministry that God has put me over, are dying and going to hell because preacher was scared to preach the message because folks didn't want to hear it. I'm so glad I preached through the book of Ephesians. I'm so glad I spent a lot of time on the fact that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Who does the saving? We talked about salvation just for a little while. Who does the saving? God does the saving. Only God can remove sin and deliver us from sin's judgment. Titus 3 and 5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jake's not going to be saved because he teaches Sunday school or Wednesday night. He's not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, remember me, I taught Sunday school. And you send them boys in there and them girls in there and I taught them to pray. No, that's not going to get them in. You know what's going to get them in? His relationship with Jesus Christ. The fact that he believed in what Jesus done on Calvary's cross. That's what's going to get him in. And that's what's going to get any of us in that plan on going to heaven. How does God save? Through Jesus Christ. Joshua, you asked that question this morning. How does God save? What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? It means to believe in what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
To how he died for your sins. Ephesians 1 and 7. I'm going to say, you want Ephesians to death. I love Ephesians.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians 1 and 7. This is a great verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood. He had to die. For us to be redeemed, he had to die. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. There's not a sin you can commit. That his blood is not powerful or strong enough to cover. There's not a sin. You can sit here and believe yourself. Say, well, I've committed the impardonable sin. The only way you can commit the impardonable sin is you die before that sin is forgiven. That's the impardonable sin. You die in your sins. But the fact that you're here and the Word of God preached to you and you know God is able to forgive you of your sins, you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. There's no mortal sin. I know Dave was taught that, right, being brought up in the Catholic Church, that you can commit a mortal sin. But if God can't save a murderer, then how is Paul preaching this? Why is Moses' name in the book? Why is David called a man after God's own heart? No mortal sin. There's no sin that you can't be forgiven of. How do we receive salvation? How about that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Paul says again, in whom you trusted. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were what? Sealed. Sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can't undo this because you didn't set the seal. You didn't seal yourself. God sealed you. Sealed you, and God's not going to unseal you. Now, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that in a way that makes you believe you can live like a fool and say you're sealed. You're going to live a sealed life. Okay? If you truly been sealed, now you're not going to be perfect. God don't have any perfect children. The only one was perfect. But you're going to live like you're sealed.
Amen.
Where is this salvation? How is it found? Jesus said himself. I love, y'all know I love these two verses because they get you nailed to the cross. See, I like verses that call you out. Amen. Here's one that gets you nailed to the cross. I like to say it to my Muslim friends that tell me, you know, they talk to me all the time. Let's give them John 14:6. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "Oh, y'all going to hell."
Amen.
You know, man, they don't like that. People don't like it, but Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." So what he's saying? All the ways. I know Oprah said there's 100 ways to get to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's wrong.
Amen.
There's one way.
Amen.
There's one way. Acts 4:12. There's none other name under heaven given whereby men what? Must be saved. You want to get to heaven, you must be saved. If you want to get to heaven, you must be saved. And the only way you can get saved is through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's salvation. And it is a lot more to it. That's just, we just moving along. Verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. How about that? The prophets. Now, when we talk about a prophet again, I don't like to beat this drum. We got prophets today, and I don't believe them. Okay?
Amen.
Now, y'all can believe in them, and that's y'all on you.
Amen.
But these prophets, these were called seers. And really what they meant, they were in a personal relationship with God. They had an interaction with God. The Spirit of God rested on these people. When you go into Jeremiah and Nehemiah, and they were always in the will of God.
Amen.
The Word of God rested on them. The Spirit of God rested on them. When they opened their mouth, they spoke, "Thus said the Lord."
Amen.
And they didn't care who they said it to. And they said it. You ask a prophet, what about this whole ideal of same-sex marriage today? A prophet wouldn't hee-haw.
Amen.
A prophet wouldn't hee-haw and then say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to touch that right now." A prophet's going to tell you what thus say the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? You ask a prophet, how do you feel about tattooing and marking our bodies up and all that? And the prophet's not going to sit there and say, "Well, if you put a cross on you with Jesus, that's okay." No, a prophet's going to say that it's a sin to mark your body. It's an abomination to mark your body. Well, we don't like to hear that. We got our tats. And some of you just waiting to get tatted all up. And call yourself a Christian. That's why I tell you, so you get it done now. Okay? And Jake get in the ring and he don't have no tats. And all the boxers got tats on. Tatted all up. They all covered up. They look at Jake like something wrong. What's wrong with you, boy? You ain't got no tattoos. You're going to take your shirt off in a boxing ring. That's the message. How about this? The prophets, they inquire. They inquire. What do you mean? They inquire. They searched out. I mean, if I'm preaching to you a gospel that's supposed to save your soul, wouldn't you think it's worth searching out? Wouldn't you think it's worth investigating and inquiring about? Making sure you got the right stuff? I mean, who would want to step before God in that day? And that day's coming. And take a chance on having the wrong stuff. This is why they inquired. They were making sure that they were preaching the right stuff. And they inquired about all this. And Peter was trying to say this to encourage these believers. They were struggling, but they had to be some doubt. They were getting hurt. They were getting killed. But Peter is saying to them, which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently. These would have been the same about people that was at the day of Pentecost. They understood the Word of God. And he didn't have the New Testament. He was preaching out of the Old Testament. Look what they had inquired. It's just a few of them. That Isaiah 7:14 said that Jesus would be born of a virgin. That Michael 5:2 said he would be born in Bethlehem. Genesis 49:10 said that the Son of God would be of the tribe of Judah. Psalm 78:2 said that he would teach parables. Peter was saying this to help them, to strengthen them, to encourage them to what? Stay in it. to stay in it. You can all ever sing, I was writing. And he was singing a song, there'd be peace in the belly. And Peter was saying to them, I'm tired and weary, but I must go on till the Lord call me home. And this is what Peter was saying, you guys got to hang in there and hang in there based on what God has done. You can't hang in there on your own strength. Some of us look at Deacon Nell and we wonder why he's hanging in there. He ain't hanging in there on his own strength. He's hanging in there because he's trusting in the Lord. And Peter's telling these folks, life is precious. Life is precious. Listen. Psalms 41:9. They inquired and they would have found out that he would have been betrayed by a friend. Who would that friend be? Judas. So Isaiah 53:5 said that he will be wounded and bruised. Remember, most of these prophets would have been at the cross. A lot of them would have been at the cross. They would have seen all this. You don't believe it? Look at Luke 23:35 when Jesus was on the cross. Luke 23 said the people stood beholding with the religious rulers, and the people stood beholding, and the religious rulers also with them derailed him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. These religious rulers, these devout Christians, remember this all happened at Pentecost. They would have all been there. They would have seen all this taking place. They would have been familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, and they would have been able to put it all together. And Peter said, don't quit. Don't give up. Psalms 22:16, his hands and feet would be pierced. You read that. Yeah. Isaiah 53:9, that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. 16:10 of Psalms, that he would be risen from the grave. Isaiah, all the way back in Isaiah, says that he would be worshipped by wise men, and he would be presented gifts. All this was prophesied, and those are only a few. So they knew. Remember the young men that were walking on the road to Emmaus. They knew about Jesus too. Listen to what they said. These people would have understood this by the conversation on the road. It says in Luke 20:24-25-26. He says, then he said unto them, he's talking to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into glory? It wasn't an unusual message of that day. The people knew that Jesus Christ was going to come, that he was going to die for their sins, and because he died and rose again, that they would be heaven bound no matter what went on here. There would be peace in the valley. And it says in verse 10 again, of which the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied and preached. What did they preach? They preached of the grace that should come unto you. These folks were saved. See, when they said the grace that comes unto you, we go back to Ephesians 2:8. For by what grace are you saved? For by grace are you saved. So these prophets were divine messengers of God. And not only that, the Spirit of God rested on them, and they spoke forth the word. Amen. They spoke forth the word. Amen. Amen. So how's your searching? Are you searching the word? You guys get on me. I'm always begging people to search the word. Come to Bible study. If it's too far for you to travel here, go to one near you. Get to a Bible study. Study the word of God. Search it out. Search it out. It's important that we know what we know. Peter Paul says this in 2 Timothy. I know it's related to 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not unto man. Unto God. What? The workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What do you mean need not be ashamed? Some of us are going to be ashamed when we stand before the Lord. 25, 30, 40 years in church and know nothing about salvation. Some of our young people have been in church all their lives. And this is why I get on the young people. You've been in church all your lives and we can't use you. You don't even want to be used. I see it with my Christian co-workers, so-called. The warden asked them to do anything. They're running all around that yard, all around that compound, doing anything that the warden asked them. Firearm training, teaching classes. I had one Christian instructor teaching a class, a use of force class, a couple weeks ago, and they always give us evaluations. And I wrote on his evaluation, "Boy, God can use you like the penitentiary uses you." He looks at me sideways, but he teaches everything. He's a good teacher. I mean, look like a preacher up there teaching. And he's just fiery. He's excited. He's fired up about it. And I'm like, and he talks to me about how he's a sold out Christian. I said, "Do you teach Sunday school at your church?" "No. Don't do nothing at his church." "I don't know. Search it out." What's that word mean, search? Investigate. Check it out. How about our beloved judge in Youngstown, Mahoney Valley, Judge Malinke? How about that? They issued a search warrant when they come out of his house with all his stuff, all his computers, everything. See, this is what it means to search. You open up the Word of God. Some of y'all sit here, and we've been on Mark chapter 9 for about a month. Oh, about 2 months. We've been on Mark chapter 9 on Wednesday night a long time. Okay? But what are we doing? Searching. Sometimes searching diligently. And every Wednesday we bring out new truths. New blessings are found when you search. You know, we got officers. We got drugs in the prison. We got shanks in the prison. You know how hard it is to find heroin in a prison? You know how hard it is, would it be to find a joint? Or marijuana. Some of y'all didn't know what a joint was, I know. A little couple of grams of marijuana. You know how hard it would be to find that in a 10 by 12 room? We got officers. I'm not one. And I don't like searching folks' property. I don't like the fact that I might stick my hand in a needle or something like that. I just don't like that. But I believe Nate was one of those type of officers that you didn't want to see come to your room and search it. Okay, we got a couple other ones, but I need a room search. I call them. Because they're going to tear it up, and they're coming out of here with something. Okay? I'm not good at it, because I am like, they be like, "Come on, Sergeant, just search me." "No, I don't do it." But they know I ain't going to find nothing. So you get Nate in there, or we got a couple other guys, and they coming out of there. And they see them coming. Them dudes just go ahead and cover me up. Take me to the hole. Because they know they got something. They got a shame. They got drugs, whatever. So, we need to search scriptures like that.
Amen.
Yeah, just dissect them.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing special about saying, "Oh, I read through the whole book of Romans in one night." There's nothing. If I was to do a study through the book of Romans, that would be a long study. It would a whole year. Deacon obviously take a whole year. It took me a whole year to do James. Listen, search the scriptures. Why? Jesus commands you to do it. Y'all, listen, I'm not commanding you to do it. Jesus is. Look what Jesus says in John 5. 37. And you know, and I'm always looking for scriptures to lift up the Savior as a warrior, because you know so many believe that, "Oh, he's so soft." And if you watch these TV preachers, you believe that. But he was just a militant, radical guy. Y'all heard me say it. I love saying that, because I know he was a warrior. When he said, "I am the way, the truth," that's those fighting words. Look what he says here. He's talking to the religious rulers of that day in John 5 and 37. And he says, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me." Yeah, that's those fighting words right there.
Amen.
Because the Pharisees didn't want to hear that.
Right.
He says, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, have borne witness of me." Now watch this. And ye have neither heard his voice at any time, or seen his shape. What's he saying to these religious rulers?
Woo!
That's fighting words, Dave. See, y'all going to hell. Look what he says in verse 35. "And ye have not his word abiding in you." What? Now, if I sit here and tell one of y'all, "You don't have the word of God in you," what am I telling you?
If you die today and you don't have the Word of God in you, you're hellbound.
Amen.
Jesus is saying that to these three. This is the best of the best.
Amen.
He says, you have not the Word abiding in you. Now, I would ask the question. That would just provoke me. I'm just start leaning down in my seats. Do I have the Word of God abiding? That word abiding means present.
Yeah.
That means always there. It don't mean Sunday for an hour.
Yeah.
Okay? It don't mean Sunday for an hour. This is when you're at Walmart. Okay, this is when you're taking that tool back to Home Depot and you don't have a receipt.
Oh.
If you need that money, is the Word abiding in you then? Okay? This is when that husband is acting crazy. You got the Word abiding in you. Or you just going to give them the bird. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent.
Amen.
Him, ye believe not.
Amen.
Now, what's that saying? Now, y'all tell me.
Yeah.
You got a problem. You're in trouble. Watch this. It's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all talking about he ain't a bad boy.
Yeah.
The Jesus I serve, and I don't know about the Jesus you serve.
Amen.
But the Jesus I serve is rough and raw. And any other word you want to use to mean tough.
Yeah.
He is bad. Watch what he said. I like this. Got it all in caps in my notes. Search the scriptures.
Amen.
Now he's telling folks to know the scriptures. They should have been able to what? Memorize them. He knew they knew. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's right. And they which testify of me. And that word testify is a legal word. They witness of me. They testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you may have life. Well, if I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he didn't already said that in John 4. This is John 5. What he saying? Going to hell.
Amen.
They knew it too. They picked up rocks. You know what? Watch what he says. I receive not honor from man. See, a lot of preachers, they want honor from man.
Uh-huh.
I want honor from God.
Amen.
When I step out of here, I want God to say, well done.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I don't care what man. Oh, that was good, brother.
Amen.
Listen. A lot of people join the church and the offerings is up and no, I don't want to hear about all that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Search the scriptures. I don't have the ability to search. It's just not in me. Here's a song for you. Psalm 119:18 for those who struggle. Here's the psalmist. Open thou my eyes.
Yeah.
That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's what I hope that we have on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night when we're teaching. I hope that the people that are teaching the classes are searching the scriptures, and when they open them up to you guys, they're wonderful things coming out. Daniel, I like this verse. Daniel talks about searching. I like Daniel. Look what Daniel, what he wanted to know. He wanted to know what was going on. What was this 70 weeks about? What was going on? Here's Daniel talking about searching. Daniel 9:3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel was all in.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know. How bad do you want to know about this great salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Berean church in Acts 17:11. He said these were more noble than the Thessalonians. And Thessalonians was a noble church. They were a great church.
Mm-hmm.
What? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched, there's a word, the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Let nobody step here to tell you anything.
Amen.
Tell you, don't let nobody do it. Search it for yourself.
Amen.
True prophets. True prophets are just filled with the Holy Ghost. Here,
in verse number 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. What? They know. Signify. Listen, these prophets had the Spirit of God. And the church is a place where the Spirit of God should be found. The place is a church where the Word of God should be preached. Okay? We go over this a lot, but it's interesting. I remember looking at Stephen. Remember Stephen? He had one sermon. One sermon. Okay? Deacon Oliver is going to get up here on Good Friday. He's going to preach like he got one sermon. And he's going to do it in 7 minutes. Preacher. Look at Stephen. Stephen didn't care. You find me a man that God used that was a coward.
Amen.
You find one, you let me know. It's not in the pages of my Bible.
Amen.
You find me one that was back down on controversial issues, or that would tuck his tail when things got a little bit hairy. You won't find him in the pages of Scripture. His Stephen, that great deacon. So I'll say this for Deacon next week. Watch this. He's preaching his only sermon. They're going to stone him. What he called these people, they didn't want to hear the word of God. He called them in Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which are the prophets? Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Acts 7. Listen, the word of God will be preached. You know, you turn on ESPN. Turn on ESPN. They're doing what they're supposed to do. It's all March Madness. Okay? It's all March Madness. Turn on ESPN. It's March Madness.
Yeah.
It's baseball spring training. It's Tiger Woods back. It's free agency. All you want to hear about, who signed this person for $30 million? Guaranteed. And all this stuff. That's what the ESPN is supposed to do.
Amen.
Fox News.
Uh-huh.
CNN. You know what they're talking about? Russia.
Uh-huh.
Missing jet. 236 people. That's all you hear. They doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They showing Miley Cyrus kissing women. Showing her behind and bruises. Beyonce. What she's wearing, what she's not wearing.
Yeah.
Their job is to poison the minds of the kids.
Yes, sir.
Hannah Montana has changed.
Oh, yeah.
She changed. Well, no, she didn't. It was in her. That demon just manifested itself now. But the church. The church is entrusted to preach the word of God.
Amen.
I don't care if you miss a month. Miss a month. Miss 2 months. Guess what? You come back here. What you ought to find.
Amen.
Same thing. That's all that man do. All that's fit is preach the word. That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's move. I'm getting through. I got a lot of pages up here. I'm going to cover them too. I'm going to take it a little bit off each page. Look at this thing. Verse 12. I thought this was a fascinating verse. Y'all say, you say it about every verse. I do. Every verse is fascinating. That's why it's so slow. He said, unto whom it was revealed. He's talking about these folks. These prophets, these apostles, the word of God was revealed. When in the Old Testament, we've seen it. He was going to be born of a virgin, born of the tribe of Judah. The word of God was revealed to these prophets and apostles.
Yeah.
And guess what we're preaching? I mean, what am I preaching? Same gospel.
Amen.
The prophets and apostles declare. Ephesians 2:20 says it like this. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. If you're going to be built up in faith, you're going to be built up in Jesus Christ by the preaching of the apostles and the prophets. Watch this in verse number 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things. They ministered to us. The word of God was being ministered to us by the apostles and the prophets. This is why, like I said earlier about Teddy and my father and Deacon Nouns and anybody else who may pass through these doors, Sister Pinky there, she needs to hear the word of God. Amen. Said it last week. Don't get easier as you get older. Amen. See, some people teach you that it should get easier as you get older. That's Baptist theology. Is anybody here getting older? Is it getting easier? The longer you live, the harder it gets. And the longer you live, the more prepared you ought to be to leave. And the only way you're going to get prepared to leave is by hearing the word of God. And then I know that's difficult theology, because we want to live our best life now. It should get easier. It's not getting easier. Go to the nursing home and talk to me about how easy it's got for them folks. And some of them have sank into Alzheimer's disease and different things. You can't even reach them. Ain't getting easier. Now it's not easier when you just can't remember. I think that may be God's judgment. You rejected the word so long, and that turned you over to a reprobate mind. They can't believe. And some of y'all in here now forgetting more and more. Some of you couldn't find your keys this morning. Didn't know what you were going to wear. Set your stockings down and forgot where you put them.
Amen.
Looking all over the room. There you go. You were sitting on them. Now y'all can tell when a preacher's talking about himself, right? Me and Cindy go round and round. I blame her for everything. It's good to have a wife. I think she can hide stuff, just testing me. Listen, the apostles had to preach the word of God. Christine said, wow, she knows something about that. Here's Paul. I love this verse. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How about that? How about 1 Corinthians 9 and 16? Paul was a master at this. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast. I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Paul, I ain't got nothing I can do. I'm compelled to preach. Then he said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That wouldn't fly well today. I had preachers preaching on why you shouldn't eat hot dogs. Who want to hear? I mean, how do you hear the sermon why you should eat hot dogs? Here's Acts. Here's Paul again. Y'all know I love Paul. Next to Jesus, I'm going to want to see Paul. Once I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. And then I want to see Paul. Okay? I want to see Jesus, then I want to see Paul. Paul said this in Acts. I love this, Acts 20. I have not shunned to preach the whole counsel of God. That's outstanding. But none of these things moved me. Paul was on his way to, he was on his way to Rome to die. And he said, none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. How, Paul? On your way to Rome to die. How, Paul? I'm going to finish my course. How? With joy. In the ministry. In the ministry. This ain't my ministry. It wasn't Paul's ministry. See, you go on TV, turn on, you say, keep me on ministries. Something wrong with that picture. There's always something wrong. You, some of y'all watch TV preaching. Like Cindy, tell me, I'm looking on TV for a TV preaching. When you look on there and say, Kenneth Coleman Ministry, somebody got their name behind them, be careful with that stuff. Because it's not your ministry. What Paul said. Now I'm backing up a scripture, preacher. Here, I'm backing up right here. Paul says this, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we ought to be doing. That word testify means to declare, to be a witness of the glory of God. And now, verse 25. And now, behold, pay attention. I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Listen, any of us in here can say that. Because next Sunday, I'm guaranteed, y'all wonder why I preach so hard every Sunday. I'm sweating and spitting because I know the next week they could have a prison riot. And even though the inmates told me that they would let me out because they like me, I don't believe them. I say, you really love me, tell me the day before you do it. Don't wait till I'm here. Listen. He says, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Or you won't blame it on Paul. When you heard the word of God, Paul said, I declared it 3.5 years, day and night. You won't blame it on Paul that you didn't hear the gospel. Amen. And you know what? I'm walking after Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You won't blame it on me. Okay? And young kids in here, you know, like, we went to church and Pastor Neil never preached the gospel. And that's a lie.
Amen.
And Jesus is going to say, boy, you're lying. You're lying. I don't even know how you got this far.
Amen.
Listen, Paul says this, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's beautiful. That's Acts 20. Now, where did Paul get that great day from? What did Paul know? Did he get that great faith? In the midst of a storm, how do you get great faith? It's got to be based on God's promises. It's got to be based on God's promises. Look at Paul. Look at Paul in Acts 27. He said, here's great faith in the midst of a storm. Anybody in a storm right now? You don't got to say nothing. Storm may be brewing. Storm may be brewing. You see the indicators. You go down to North Carolina, South Carolina, they got little roads that say storm roads and hurricane paths and different things. And they see that storm brewing way out in the sea. Paul said this on the boat. Now I'm talking about the great faith in the storm. Acts 27 and 22. Paul is telling these folks that now they've been through some stuff off the boat. They've been fasting. They've been going through. Now they all think they're going to die. Great story out of the book of Acts. But Paul says this. He stands up. Now this is a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What are you talking about, Paul? We in a storm. We didn't throw everything off. We left for dead. He said, be of good cheer. Now how about that? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Where were these folks who was in a storm? See, when God sends a storm, some of you young folks, some of my boys that God's put in my home, you're in a storm right now. And I believe it's subsiding. But God sends a storm to bring wayward folks back to Him. God sent a storm to teach the necessity of faith, the importance of having faith. You don't need to wait till you're in the storm to start calling on God for faith.
Amen.
God sends a storm to reassure us that we are His people. Where did Paul get that faith at? He stood on God's word.
Amen.
He stood on God's word. Paul knew he had to get to Rome because God told him he was going to get to Rome. So when God tells you you're going to get to Rome, you can have that great faith. Paul says this in Acts 23. Now that's 27. Look at what 23, what Paul told us. What God told Paul. He said, in the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Paul knew he was going to get to heaven. He knew he was going to survive that ship because God said that he had to give to Rome.
Amen.
Listen. How you doing? How's your faith holding up? You hear a message like this. How's your faith holding up?
What
kind of faith do you have? What kind of salvation do you have? Talk about a great salvation. I want you guys to have a great salvation.
Yes, sir.
I want you to have a great salvation. Look at this last one. Now, I might as well talk about how great it is because the angels desire to see it. I thought this was fascinating. I'm going to close with just the last point here. In verse number 12. Some of these verses have got too much information. Y'all know how I am. And Jake and them say, you squirmed and you didn't hit it right. But I'm doing the best I can. Look at this. The salvation we have. I think this is interesting. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Stop right there. Okay? Word of God got to be preached by the Holy Ghost. Well, watch this. Which things the angels desire to look into. Now that's interesting. Why is our salvation so interesting to angels? Now I remember when I came here and they had the angels over here and Marvin and Teddy disposed of those little fat things with wings.
Amen.
Cherubs. Those were the cherubs. Them wasn't. Angels. Remember, there are two types of angels. There were fallen angels. And the fallen angels weren't given a second chance. They were cast in the outer darkness forever. And now the angels is looking at us.
Amen.
Who are born in sin, but God has given us a second chance.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting to you as an angel? Because the angels are so obedient. They didn't get mad at us.
Yeah.
But they want to see what salvation really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just wondering how much they see in these days. How much real salvation is out there? Because I hear folks, there are folks that worship angels. And they're always talking about they've been touched by an angel. An angel been watching over me. There's a song where angels watching over me. And I'm just wondering. Because when you say you have an angel watching over you, you put yourself in an elite class of people. You put yourself in an elite class of people. And when I look at angels, the angels that have intervened with people in the Bible, and I line it up all with the Bible, you're talking about some, you talk about Sweet 16. You're talking about a great class of people. Look, starts out with Daniel. Angel visited Daniel. Zechariah had a vision of the horses. I hear people always talking about visions. And I had a dream and I had a vision. When I started studying this, every dream and vision that was in the Bible was interpreted by the Word of God or by an angel.
Amen.
Well, don't come to me with your vision because I'm not I can't interpret it. Take your vision and line it up with Scripture. Zechariah, remember Zechariah? He was in the inner courts doing his prayer, and an angel visited Zacharias. And he said, Zacharias, fear not, for your prayers have been answered. Remember, Zechariah was all messed up about it because he was like, God, of us sending up prayers, then we don't think God ever going to answer. We just sent them up. And Zechariah had sent up a prayer in his old age that his wife would have a baby. And when the angel said it's going to happen, Zechariah said, how can that be? No different than Mary. Remember, Mary had an angel visitation. And then the angel told Mary, said, Mary, you're going to be with a child. And Mary said, well, I've never been with a man. How are we going to do this? She didn't say, how is that possible? She said, how are we going to do it? Joseph. I like this one on Joseph. Joseph had some bad advice. And they told somebody, they told him, look, that girl ain't no good. She didn't have a baby. She's pregnant. She's cheating on you. And the angel had to come visit Joseph and tell them that child is mine.
Okay.
Of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Peter was in jail. Now, this was an angel visitation. Peter was in jail. Sleep. Chained up to two armed guards the night before he was to be executed. How many of us would have been able to sleep? We'd have been up all night. Pacing the floor. Word, oh Lord, have mercy. Once the angels looked at your salvation today, I always thought thought that was an interesting question. What would they see? What would they see? The angels looked at your Bible study time, your prayer time, the time that you spend alone with God. Once the angels reported back to God, they did. They reported back to God. What would they report to about us? God sent an angel down here to watch us for 6 months. That too long? 6 weeks. 6 hours. What if the angel came down and watched you for 6 weeks and went back to report to God? What would it be like? What would that report have on it? That's interesting. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for the faith, Father God, to withstand the trials and the persecution and the reproaches. Thank you for the faith to withstand the illnesses and the sickness that we go through. Thank you for the faith to bounce back, Father God. Thank you for the faith to love our spouses, even when things are going haywire, Father God. Thank you for the faith that we hang in there. We're able to forgive one another and get back on track.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all those that are here. Thank you for the babies, Father God, crying out.
Amen.
What a wonderful sound in the house of God.
Amen.
To hear the babies crying out. Thank you for the single parents that are here, Father God, that decided to keep their child. When so many young women are just murdering theirs, these young women have kept them, and they brought them to church, and they said, "Well, Father, I can't raise them on my own. I need the power of God in my life. And I need you in this relationship. We're going to make this baby a success, and we're going to bring it up like Hannah brought up Samuel. We're going to bring him up in the house of God." Thank you, Father God, for all those that are sick and shed in. Thank you for Teddy and Deacon Nelms. And thank you for Brother Vernon.